A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also, Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
It's time for the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010XL.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. And now, here's Captain Kevin Faber.
Good evening. Welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Faber, sitting in with, look, it's not a newbie, because he's been on the show before, Captain Corey Sparks. Hey, buddy. Nice to have you in the studio.
I appreciate the invite, Kevin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, man, what a great time to start talking about fishing and being here, because this is the time of year when everything happens, man. I know you guys have had some remarkable inshore days. And then obviously springtime is just so cool, because not only are you catching the redfish and the trout and the flounder and stuff, but between the bites you got the jacks and the ladyfish and the bluefish and stuff like that. So it makes it fun for people.
Yeah, yes, it does. There's just about anything you want to target out there right now. You know, if you got kids and you need an easy bite, there's fish that will cooperate. if you're going after trophies, you know, there's plenty of them cruising around. So it's a fun time of year.
Don't top water much. I mean, it takes a special client, because I've run plenty of inshore charters. I mean, I was full-time inshore for a long time, and I did have those guys that love to throw top water at 6 a.m. You know what I mean?
It's
that type of fishery, and you get that first hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and I just loved it. You didn't catch a lot of fish,
yeah.
But damn, man, the ones you caught were serious picture takers.
Yeah, it's a passion of mine, throwing top water, but it's short windows, it's early mornings, and it's not a lot of bites. But when you get them, it's those people remember it, and that's the next call they give you. That's what they want to do.
That's true. And if you listen to the outdoor show last Saturday, Jeff and his son Dylan, Jeff Lugman, they were. They went through basically around Favorite Dikes and went into Pellisier Flats blind, in their kayaks, and it's very shallow in there, and they were throwing topwater plugs, and he said, you know, we just didn't catch that many fish. He said, but the one time, he said, Dylan threw past him and was working the Zara Spook back and forth, and a redfish came up and missed it, and came up and missed it, and it was literally going right by Jeff's kayak. And he said the third time he pounced on top of it. You know how they have to do to get that topwater. But that's that experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's to go throw topwater. Again, you're not going to get a ton of bites. But, man, I used to do that a lot. But I had my flats boat. When I say that, I would start – when the water temperature got about 68, 69 degrees, and I would try, for me, where I was fishing, I would try to find the high incoming tide and then fish the rest of the incoming and the first of the outgoing. That just seemed to work best for me.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about it over the years where I'll fish any tide. You know, if I've got somebody that can throw it, I'll throw top water in the morning. But
Favorite
bait? The top sheep ups,
okay,
a little higher pitch. If there's some chop on the water, it's just it gets a little higher frequency. And then the Super Spook Juniors. I don't like a huge profile, but I like fishing low tide as well. When you see those fish cruising, it's almost sight fishing
right.
The top water. And all of a sudden, one of those crazy mullets on the bank come out a little bit. And they're like, oh, what's this guy doing, you know?
Right.
And it doesn't happen a lot. But when you can see that school working down the bank and present to them and bring it off the bank, it's exhilarating.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Like I said, I fished south of 312 Bridge, obviously St. Augustine South. And it was a big oyster flat, basically, yeah. Is what it was. I mean, almost at low tide, it's almost dry, you know. So you can't get in there with a bay boat anymore. I haven't fished it in years, but it was a really cool spot for this time of year. But fished yesterday offshore, and then fished today offshore. It just I can't even explain. Two spectacular days. And I'm not saying that we blistered the fish, but for us in April, we've talked a lot about this over the years. We just haven't had any opportunities to fish. You know, the wind's blowing
every day.
And for the last 2 weeks, we have had some windows, 2-, 3-, 4-day windows, that to be able to go back out on the beach and fish in April, and I've said this for years and years and years, April is my favorite month to fish when I can fish, you know, when I have the weather. And I'll tell you, for the last 2 days, it reminds me of when Captain Kirk and I used to fish the beach 12, 15 years ago. There is more bait on the beach than I've seen in 10 years. Easily. I mean, today was ridiculous. I started, when I came in from offshore, I came in around the desert, and we went from the desert all the way back to the inlet, and it was, solid bait, big purple pods, not a flick here and a flick here. I mean, just, it was so much fun. I had Dustin and his brother, Sean, and for me to sit there and go, my God, it's been forever since I've seen this much bait. And, you know, whenever we used to fish the beach this time of year, obviously you're looking for rays, which we saw today.
Yeah.
We didn't see any cobia, but I'm sure with all the bait and rays and everything, there's going to be cobia around. But it was so cool to be out there in April. By the way, you know, nice and cool. It's 71 degrees. That's in the water temperature. It's beautiful. And I stopped on one pod, and I'm like, you know what? Because we were coming in, but we were looking for rays. I couldn't stand it. I had to fish one pod. And you know, Sean runs up to the boat and throws a bait down. It doesn't even get to the bottom. It gets hammered, you know. And it was about a 4-foot black tip. And then a big school of jacks came through. And then all of a sudden, you know, we look up and going down the beach, here's a ray, you know. It was at the end of my trip, you know. I mean, we were coming home,
yeah.
But I didn't want to come home. it's amazing, you know. And you and I talked before the show. I was like, man, if these Aprils start stacking up like this, it's so simple. It's a fish finder rig, and pull up to a bait pod, get on the trolling motor. Drop down, you know, people don't have need to, all they got to do is open the bail and hang on, because you never know what you're going to catch.
Yep.
You know, I have seen some tarpon. I've seen some tarpon in the bait pod, and I'm sure we'll talk to Captain Chip Wingo. He sent us a picture a little while ago of somebody caught some giant kingfish on somewhere locally. I had a flat line out yesterday and today, and it stayed out there. I never had a strike on it, but I know last week I did. I had kingfish strikes, so I found that interesting.
And I don't fish the beach, but do you find with the weather windows we've had, the bait's here earlier, or it's always here this time of year? It's whether you can get to them.
It's always here.
It's always here.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to Sean and Dustin about that today. You know, a lot of times people are like, man, we just didn't have a cobia to run. Well, we weren't able to get out there and fish for them. You know, if it's too rough, it's too rough.
But today was like, wow. It so reminded me, again, of 10, 12 years ago when we would just literally, we'd go out the North Cut, and there's a bait pod.
There they are.
There they are. You know, when we catch redfish, we catch cobia, we catch jacks, we catch sharks. It was so much fun. And when I came in from offshore, because these guys wanted to try to catch a flounder offshore, which we did. We caught one, but we caught all kinds of other fish. I was like, man, I wish I had left offshore an hour earlier so we could have fished, you know, three or four more of those bait pods.
Pods, yeah.
Because they were huge, huge acre, you know? I mean, like massive. And when you get those bait pods on top of the water like that and you drop a bait down, I know there's cobia underneath there. I mean, I know there was.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't like the weather forecast. We'll look at that at the end of the show.
The weekend looks tough.
It looks way tough. On one other note, for everyone who fishes out of St. Augustine, yesterday was the first time I came into North Cut, and it has changed drastically. It's breaking all the way across it. And yesterday and today, I was like 2.8 to really? 3.2 feet. So you need to take note. I mean, all of that changes every year, right? But for some reason, the North Cut has kind of always maintained itself. But unless you really know what you're doing, don't take the North Cut.
Yeah.
Especially on the low tide. On the high incoming tide, you're going to be fine. But even on that, with that being said, those waves are still breaking all the way across that pass now.
Wow.
So, just kind of put that in your notebook. All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Captain Corey Sparks. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. When we come back, talk to Captain Leon Dana. Be right back.
You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Yo, Trent Balky, let's pick it.
Draft night, baby. Draft night, baby.
All right, stop, collaborate, and pick him. The draft is back, and the Jags are picking someone who shines so brightly, starts stacking wins so tightly. We on our way to the top, I hope so. Turn on the lights and let's go. Come helps make winning too hot to handle with Lawrence on the field, burning bright like a can. Fans are all cheering for you. Your pick number one, they'll forget about two. Ready?
Oh, you gotta love you some Dan Hicken here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
So, real quick, fun fact.
Case, yes.
Your producer, I wrote that song.
Did you really?
Yep, 100%. Every lyric.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. My good 15 you, minutes man. Right there is being yes, transferred is. Through Dan Hicken.
Dan Hicken, and you found like one of the most popular singers of all time.
Right? Wait, which one? Mella Icer or Dan?
That's great. Yeah. You know what? For a guy who can't sing a lick, he makes a lot of songs.
He does. He's got a whole library of them in here. I was surprised I was able to find that one.
All right, we got Leon on.
Man, he's here. Talk to him.
He's here. Captain Leon Dana.
I just got to ask, how many times did it take for him to – I mean, how many takes did it take for that one?
I've heard, he's always one and done. So, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of like impressed. Vanilla Ice in his music career.
Vanilla Ice.
Well, he did have the Go Ninja Go in right. the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but still it was one and done.
Hey, that's, I understand he's a pretty damn good carpenter, though.
Who, Dan Hicken?
No,
Vanilla Ice.
Oh, Vanilla Ice. Oh, I was going to say. Yeah, oh, okay.
He had a
reality show, flipping houses or something.
Something like
that. Didn't he, Leon? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was a...
I don't know where we're going.
Flipping houses.
I bet he ain't a fisherman worth
like
a damn.
That's right. That. Yeah, but he can't catch a damn fish. So I got a couple stories about Leon this week. All right. So I'll go back to Monday, but I'm going to go back to this morning because Leon and I talked early and he's like, hey, we need to change TMS's commercial because they're now an action craft dealer, right, Leo?
That's correct. They are.
Yeah. So I got a million things going on this morning. I'm picking my guys up at 9 o'clock. I and everybody will love this. Okay, so but yesterday evening, my gas wouldn't work on my stove, and you know Carrie's in there trying to cook, and the gas is not working. So obviously, I got to get up early this morning, and you know, call the. And by the way, we were spelling propane in the house. Blah blah blah.
Nice.
So
we thought
there was a problem, and then so I call AmeriGas, which is fantastic. I love them. But you guys know when you call like really early, they have an answering service or, well, totally non-American. And I couldn't understand the guy. And so I'm on 30 minutes. I'm like, dude, I just need to schedule somebody to come out and look at my propane. And then right after that, I get it all done. Leon calls. And he's like, hey, I need to record this new spot. I don't work today till 1. And I'm like, okay, well, let me make some phone calls. And I called three people. I called Casey, I called Gibby, and I called RJ. And obviously, it's early in the morning. Well, I got all these guys calling me back to take care of Leon. But the Leon calls me and goes, hey, where's the commercial? I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, you got to send it to me. I'm like, dude, I'm on the water. I mean, I said, what happened to the copy that you had last time? I love you, Leon.
Dude, I mean, that's spot on. I mean, I told you exactly where it was. I don't know what I did with it. It was on a piece of paper.
I just had an experience with my buddy Leon last week like that.
Yeah, did you? Okay.
With a plug.
With a plug.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one.
His truck must eat important stuff. I don't know.
That's a good one, Corey. Go ahead, Corey. Tell that story. That's a good story.
You talking about like a boat plug?
Harness to a fish finder. All the wires that go to the back.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
And so he's texting me, calling me. I gave you that, right? I'm looking everywhere. I don't have it. I said, I'm not messing with you, Leon. You have it somewhere. And he swore up and down, and he called me back 3 times, and finally, I guess he cleaned his truck and misplaced it, as we all do when we clean up, you know, but... Yeah.
Did you find it, Leon?
I did find it. Yeah. It was in my truck when I cleaned it.
Okay.
Right where I left it.
You know, I talked about your truck a couple weekends ago because, you know, we did that remote at Standard Feed and Seed, mm-hmm. and it was cold, and we were outside. And Kirk's like, well, I got an extra jacket, and I got a blanket, you know, I mean – Jeff's like, oh, you got a blanket? It, you know, Kirk is totally, he supplied all of these warm clothes to us because we were sitting outside and it was cold. And I'm like, dude, that's like Leon's truck. You know, you open up the back and there's a trolling motor.
A Swiss Army knife truck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So all good, Leon.
Yeah, I mean, I have it all because, my God, you just do not want to be caught with my pants down when I need something immediately. So I mean, yeah, I load my truck up with everything, and hey, you know, a couple times I've really bailed myself the hell out. I mean, ask Corey about the time I got stuck in the mud. I had to use my own jack to get out, you know? I mean, remember that, Corey?
Yeah, because somebody wouldn't help you out.
That's right. Yeah. Someone really wouldn't help me out. They just took
yeah, because you were making fun of me, broke down. Karma got you stuck in the ditch. Karma's 20 yards behind me.
Yacht, yeah. So, Lee, so I fished with, and I had the privilege of fishing with Leon on Monday.
He was this week.
Yeah, it was this week. And he texted me on Sunday, and he's like, you in town? I said, yeah. And so he's like, well, he said, you know, Brandon and I are fishing. And would love for you to come join us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, stand by. I had things to do, but we weren't leaving the dock until, what, 1 o'clock, Leon? Is that when we left?
Yeah, I think it was 1 o'clock. No, was it 2 or something like that?
Yeah, it was two. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because Brandon's too busy for us, right?
That's right.
So anyway, yeah, Aqua Traction. Yes, thank you for that. And we take off, and I'm looking at Leon's dash.
Which one?
Okay,
the
yeah.
Enterprise.
So
dash.
I'm looking at the upgraded material, right? The Forever Sound, whatever, and it's this 360. But then I'm looking like his switches and stuff, or like all 1976. You know?
Oh, hell, we went there, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know. I mean, it's there's more stuff on his dash than in a 36-foot Yellowfin. There is. Okay, and it's he's trying to teach me this technology, and I'm like, dude, I don't know anything about this. But the first place that we went, we were fishing underneath a bridge, and he literally he's teaching Brandon and I. Okay, this is what you're going to see, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like crazy unbelievable. So we finally get anchored up where Leon wants to, and he's like, okay, throw 11 o'clock at 20 feet. You know, and I'm like, and by the way, I can do that, and Brandon could do that, but let's face it, I would say 60% of your charters cannot do that.
Yeah.
Right, Leon?
60, yeah, probably so. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, do you ever get to the point where you're like, hey, bro, I didn't say 1 o'clock. I said 11 o'clock.
I say that right. All the time.
Okay, that's my point. You know, you got to be up there like, hey, I'm looking at a fish at 1 o'clock here. You know, don't give me the 1:30 because what does that mean? You know, but the 1 or 2 o'clock is okay. Yep. But you know, he gave me an 11:30 a couple times, and I'm like, okay, you know. But damn the technology, Leon, and I got to tell you, bro, I had an awesome time. I had so much fun.
I'm glad you did, Kevin. That was a good time indeed. And fun by Brandon, you and me. I got to sit back and laugh and giggle and point and just show you guys some new technology that's out there that is which does work very well. I mean, it's truly a game changer, and I only look forward to what's coming in the future.
Yep.
I mean, so you're right. I mean, I sat there, and you're right. There was a few times we just sat there and spot locked, and I go, okay, 11 o'clock, 40 feet, throw right there. And it was a stud. You know, I mean, fish after fish. And, I mean, like you said, at the end of the trip, he says, I made a believer out of you. That stuff actually does work.
Well, it does. It does. You know, I was thinking about this today because, you know, I've got my Simrad that I'm very comfortable with, this, that, and the other, and I pulled up over a spot, a piece of bottom offshore, and it's so lit up. I mean, you know, and I can't imagine what Leon would do. Oh, my God, there's 15 at 50 feet. You know what I mean? I mean, even I was looking at, I mean, you would. It would be total overload, I think.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you know, I mean, I felt like I was king of the world a few years ago using my Helix 12 with a side scan, and that's all I talked about to you guys. And now here I am pulling up to fishing spots, and I showed you. I did what I called the drive-by. I started out with a side scan. I go, all right, count the pilings. Now you can see the fish are between pilings number 3 and 4. And then we come back, and then I'd set us down with the spot lock, and then I'd put the 360 out, and I'd show you when they would move between the pilings, or they would move to the next set of pilings, and then you just cast and pick them off. I mean, embrace the technology, or you're just going to get left behind. I mean, sure, I understand you can use a bottom scope and use it just fine. And folks, this is not live scope or by any shores of the imagination. It's just side scan that stands in a 360 perimeter that you can make run 20 feet. You can make around 120 feet. And, you know, I made it run the average. I think that day I was making it run 60 feet, and I was showing you holes, and I was showing you fish moving in and out of the channels. And it's just spectacular. And this is Hummingbird technology, which I use. You know, I mean, every time someone gets into my boat, I love showing off the advancements yes. in technology.
Right.
It's just, it's like a video game.
Right. So today you sent pictures of some beautiful redfish. Did you fish north or south of Palm Valley?
I switched it up and I went south today.
Okay.
I went south.
Man, what a beautiful day, huh?
It really was a beautiful day. Southeast winds were light and variable. Threw pop corks the entire day. Had good luck both on shrimp and on mud minnows. My largest fish came off of mud minnows. I know Palm Valley has both in right now, which I expect them not to on Saturday.
Lynn, can I ask you a quick question? Do you throw a lot of mud minnows on popping corks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, Corey? I do.
Same thing. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Throw them all the time on popping corks. Yep.
Well, I will tell you this, and I know the weather is going to get iffy here the next few days, but if you want to entertain somebody, the beach right now is unreal. Unreal, Leon. There are so many bait pods, and it just reminds me of what Captain Kirk and I used to call pod hopping. You know, you just go from pod to pod to pod, and you would never have to go past the captain's house today and hit 50, maybe 100 pods. Crazy.
Let's just hope they stick around, buddy. God,
I'm with you on that. I totally get you. I said the same thing to Dustin and Sean today, who fished with me. I said, man, if this bait sticks around, it will be a banner year on the beach for tarpon, for kingfish, even for cobia. If the bait's around, they're going to stick around for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I love what you're saying, and when I get back from Portugal, I'll be out there with you boys. There's no doubt about that. I'm just counting down the days right now, fishing the backwaters, which surprisingly, I mean, I did well all last week to the north. And today I switched up, went south, and we caught two extremely, extremely nice trout and a nice slot red and two overslot reds and a handful of unders.
Wow, two overslots. No,
yeah, one was 29 and a half. The other one was 30, back-to-back cast. It's like, holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, and, that doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. I mean, back-to-back, 29 and a half and 30. I'm like, holy cow.
On popping corks?
Yeah, and mud minnows.
Oh, that is fun.
And then, of course, I ended up today by dinging up my brand spanking new prop, rolled one of the two blades. I don't know what on earth I hit, but yep, that 1 week old prop, it's already going to the shop. So that's just lice. But like me, you know how you say, oh, I got everything in the back of my truck? That's why I own, when I order props, I always order two. And I have a brand new prop to put on it tomorrow. So you won't be able to, I won't be kept down.
Yeah. All right, so we have a trip with Sherwin Williams.
We do.
Tomorrow, yep, at 1:30. Are you fishing in the morning?
Yes, sir, I am. 7 a.m.
Okay. All right. PVO got plenty of shrimp and mud minnows for us?
Lots of shrimp and plenty of mud.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yep,
I'm just going to pull the boat down there. My trip for tomorrow morning canceled because it's supposed to be rough offshore, so I'm gonna pull the boat to Palm Valley tomorrow and launch down there with you.
Well, come early. We'll have lunch.
All right, that sounds good.
You know, why not?
Sounds good. All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
Hey, y'all take care.
See you, Leon.
See you, Corey.
You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show with Captain Kevin Favorite, Captain Corey Sparks. Take a quick break, and we'll talk to Captain Chip Wingo. He had a serious picture of some kingfish that his buddies caught, so I got some questioning for old Captain Chip Wingo. We'll be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Favorson, old Captain Corey Sparks this evening. And right now we need to go talk to another captain, Captain Chip Wingo. What's up, Chippy?
What's going on, guys? What's up, Corey?
Hey, Chip.
I heard Leon say he went south today. I was like happy to hear that.
What'd you hear?
Leon went south.
I was happy to hear that.
You keep him up there, Chip.
No, it's all right. You can have him down there. So, actually, I got to give him credit. He did give me a little info to help me out Saturday during the tournament. So, and then we did cash a check, so I can't complain about that. So,
there you go.
Did you fish the tournament?
Yeah, Saturday the Builders Tournament. So
I didn't know you fished the Builders Tournament.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Who'd you have?
Pat Comer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. And did y'all fish, obviously, your waters or
nah,
Leon's waters?
Leon's waters. No, I fished a lot of the old stuff that we used to fish down here, down your way all the time. But we got a nice red, and we got a, 3-6 trout or something, and then it just, we grinded looking for flounder. Couldn't buy a flounder. So, but it was a fun day, a long day, a fun day.
Yeah, that is a long day. I mean, it was funny because Leon called me before the outdoor show, and he's like, all right, I'm getting ready to launch. And then I called him after the show, and then I came home and took a nap, and then I called him after my nap. I'm like, damn, you're still out there? And he goes, we got 2 more hours, bro. I'm like, God almighty. Holy crap. That's a 12-hour. I mean, it's more than 12 hours.
Yeah,
by the time you get the boat cleaned and everything else, goodness gracious, that's a long
Palm
day.
I left Marina Kevin at 5:30 a.m. and got back at 5:30 p.m. So it was a long day
because you had to run to St. Augustine to weigh fish, right?
Yep. Ran all the way down there to pick them up. So, and then ran all the way back up past Pine Island and then all the way back down 312 Bridge and went all the way back. I covered some ground. Water. It was fun. We caught all kinds of stuff, but it was fun.
And not only that, Chip, there was like, what, 4 other inshore tournaments going on?
I counted it one time by the Lions Bridge. There had to be 30 boats coming and 30 boats leaving.
Yeah.
All around. 60. You're like, oh, my God.
I don't know how you catch anything in that.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, what, you're going to go into a creek to get away?
Yeah.
No, because there's 40 boats in there.
Our last spot, we went down, try to pull a flounder off the docks in St. Augustine, and it was like trying to stay on the boat. You couldn't feel your line. Right. You were keeping your balance.
Right.
Yeah, but it was a fun time. But I'll give Leon credit. He gave me a heads up on a spot that we fished a lot together and told me that fish were around, so... And then he came in and goes, do you mind if I throw here? And he throws over us into where we were fishing. So I just turned around back and casted a poppin' cork at him at 90 miles an hour. And he did the ninja catch. He caught it in his hand. It was fun.
Oh, so what did you cast a check in?
Just a trout. We had, I think, third place trout at like 3-6,
Okay.
But I was happy with that. So it was a nice little bonus. But it was a fun day.
What did you catch the trout on?
Mud minnow.
No kidding.
I caught it off the exact same spot that we caught our biggest red off of. I mean, literally, Kevin, in the exact same spot. We caught the red fish an hour later as the tide fell in the exact same spot, both on mud minnows. So. And we caught a lot of reds on mud. And then we had another nice trout too, but it wasn't that big. And I only want to put one of those in the live well. It's hard enough to keep one alive.
At least this time of year with the water temperature being below what 75, 76, they'll stay alive. No question about that. Well, that's good. I mean, any idea what the winning weight was for triple?
I'm not sure. Like, Leon had, like, a 8-spot red and 9-spots won. I think they had, like, a 9-pound redfish that won the biggest red.
Goodness gracious, that's huge.
I think the trout was over 6 pounds.
Oh.
I'm not sure how big the flounder. I almost called you to get some numbers to run offshore to try to get a flounder. Because, I mean, I was about ready to throw the net if I could find pogies and go out there and look for one. I was like, Kevin, you can delete them from my – I just need to find it.
No. I know that I get a lot of phone calls this time of year for those numbers. And I don't think you could go outside the inlet in that tournament.
Maybe you couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Trust
me, with the pictures that I posted of, 5, 7, 8 pound flounder last week, people, their head's spinning. They're like, how do I get to that?
I heard you guys say something about the pictures of the kingfish.
Yes.
Travis whacked them today. Travis Wilson, River City Charters up out of Jacksonville here. He went and they were looking for cobia, and then he said, he found the pogies, of course, like you were talking earlier, and he said, well, let's run offshore here and they will do a little bottom bumping or something. And he said he pulled up to the spot, threw out a handful of chum, and immediately they were skyrocketing. So he's like, well, boys, we're going to be kingfishing. And
yeah,
he said he got there.
By the way, I have the kingfish rods on the boat, and when I was fishing with Sean and Dustin today, we basically bottom fishing. I mean, I had a flat line out the entire time, mm-hmm. and I never lost a bait on it today, which was highly disappointing because I was one of my favorite kingfish spots and one of my favorite flounder spots. And I kept watching the bait while they're bottom fishing. I'm watching it.
Talking that rod into it.
I was. I had him on a Cajun Thunder, and he's doing the circle thing underneath it. The water was magnificent, but I never got a bite on that damn thing. I was disappointed. I was.
Yeah, I heard you say the weather's going to turn again on us here. I guess that'll work out perfect because I'm going to leave for a week.
Me too.
I can't stand it. I mean, they went crazy today. We'll talk later about that. But
okay.
So yeah, I love it when people send me pictures and I'm trying to concentrate on fishing. It looks like everything, like you said, everything's early, and if we can keep this bait on the beach, it's going to be spectacular. Chip, it's already awesome.
If you would have seen it today, you would have a hard time staying inshore. I'm just telling you. It was unreal how much bait was on that beach. And, it's those typical purple pods that we talk about, Chip, and Corey, you've seen this too. They're just swimming around in a circle. They're not moving north or south, and the fish are just – everything's in them. Yeah. Everything, so much fun. And like I said, I wish that I had stopped fishing an extra hour early. But I didn't. I knew there was a lot of bait on the beach this morning from all the mud balls, but I didn't know that they would turn into these giant purple pods, which I just absolutely love to fish.
Yeah.
If I would have known that, I probably would have come out 2 hours early to fish those pods. There was a ton of you know how it is. This time of year, 72 degrees, everything's feeding, everything's migrating with these baits. It's fun stuff, bro.
Oh, yeah. Jack, sharks, big reds, cobia, tarpon.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah. Rod thinners, streamers.
There's definitely some tarpon showing up. I know that there's been some sightings around the St. Augustine Inlet. I can't tell you. Again, I only fished one bait pod today. I kept running by them. But that one bait pod had sharks, jacks, bluefish, Spanish, everything. Had everything in it. Great stuff.
Oh, that's so much fun. I'm ready. I guess I'll have to go out of town and turkey hunt and then come back and get on.
I have to. I heard something about Corey doing the same thing, but I'm not sure.
So, Corey, how was your week?
It was all right. I was up in Georgia earlier this week, but we heard a few.
Which is okay.
Yeah. But,
fishing
the weekend.
Did you get on a decent bite?
Yeah, fishing. I fished that tournament as well. We caught a lot of redfish. We just couldn't find a big one. They were all like mid slots, 24, 25. And then the flounder was tough to find. But the bite's been good. We've been on a decent black drum bite in the valley on the main channels. You know, the roll downs have held them when the boat traffic's not blowing them off from all the prop wash. But yeah, it's that time of year where every once in a while you pull up a bonnet shark, you're starting to catch a little bit of everything.
Yes.
So, and for out-of-towners booking, they love it. They see 10 different species.
Dude, I just want people to catch fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
That's why it's like January is so hard, because the only thing that you're catching are a redfish or a drum or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that there may be 15, 20, I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes without a bite.
Yeah.
You know? But I love it that I get my jacks and my ladyfish and my bluefish in between the other bites.
Yeah.
I want people to catch fish.
Yeah.
You know? If they have to weed through a few snappers, oh well.
Yeah, but I fished the other day for 4 hours without a bite with three guys on the boat. And no, it was four guys. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And then finally we got to go catch something. And we went and caught three big overslots, you know, a couple bulls and just a couple of an overslot. But I was like, I got to bend the rods. It was high tide, nothing chewing, nothing. Right. We caught two stingrays. And I'm like, ugh. And I hit 15, 18 spots. So
high tide, I know you, I get it. You fish a high tide a lot of times.
Yeah, I like high tide a lot too.
I know you do. But, and for me, if I'm inshore fishing, man, give me that last 3 hours of the outgoing and that first hour of the incoming, and I'll make my 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, but they didn't want to. We got on all the jacks, Spanish bite. I pulled up to spot through one cast, but they didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay. So, yeah. You know, had to go with what the clients wanted.
So, I know.
But anyway.
every client's different, man. I mean, that's just, it's all cool. It's all cool. All right, buddy, we're going to take a break. And, I'll see you up north this weekend.
Yep, I'll see you Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon. So.
Yeah, Chip's joining us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning. So don't forget about guest rules.
Who's the guest? Kirk? Okay, I'll call Kirk.
Leon's going to give you, he's going to give you a hard time because he's going to be like, dude, you know what the guest rules are.
I'll bring him a grape soda and a moon pie. I got it covered.
There you go. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right, buddy.
See you guys.
See you. All right, let's take a quick break. And Captain Corey, when we come back, we'll look at the forecast and see what it's going to be, because I don't like it. But we'll be right back here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Captain Corey Sparks. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. And it doesn't look as bad as what I originally saw for the forecast. Tonight, southeast winds 5 to 10. Tomorrow, east winds 5 to 10, becoming northeast 10 to 15 in the afternoon. So I think if you wanted to fish the beach in the morning to fish the bait pods, it's doable.
Got a window.
Yeah, you got a window. I wouldn't go very far, because you don't want to be caught in a northeast wind. But it's not that crazy of a northeast wind, 10 to 15. Saturday, east winds around 15. So Saturday is going to be a beautiful day. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be nice and cool. I mean, I think for inshore fishing and stuff, I mean, it's going to be it should be good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, early in the morning, you probably got some funky tides right now because the tide's low in the afternoon.
Low in the mornings this weekend in Palm Valley.
So early.
Like 7 and 8.
Right, right. Oof, that's good. Okay. Sunday, east winds 10 to 15, seas 4 to 5. So us bay boaters, we're not going offshore on Sunday. You can, but it's just going to be a little uncomfortable. I don't think it's going to be dangerous. Again, folks, if you didn't hear me earlier, be careful of that north cut in St. Augustine. It's I've used it my whole life, and I've never seen it like this. It's breaking all the way across. There's not, you can't look down the cut and see an opening. The waves are breaking all the way across, so you almost have to time yourself going in and out, which kind of spooks people. And yeah. If you get the timing wrong, you're going to take one over the bow. Or even worse, coming in, if you pitch, I'd rather take one over the bow than pitch.
Yeah.
Yep. So
take the extra 5 or 10 minutes.
Go out the inlet.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Next week looks beautiful. Monday, southeast winds around 10 knots, 3 to 4. Tuesday, southeast winds 5 to 10, 3 to 4. So I'm looking at that forecast for next week as a beach forecast. Cobia fish. I don't think the Rays have bypassed us.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if you listen to a lot of the guys that have been fishing the Rays, you know, that Matanzas Flagler area was real hot a week ago. So there's still some Rays around. But with all the bait that's on the beach, Corey,
they got to hold up a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, it's I've seen this for years. You know, whenever you have these huge bait pods, the bait pods are kind of feeding on the same thing that the banner rays do. So they're not going to migrate near as fast, and the water's temperature is perfect. 72 degrees. So I think that next week is going to be
good sick days.
Good sick days. Yeah. So but I'm thinking St. Augustine to Mayport.
Yeah.
You know, for the beach fishing next week. And then Captain Chip Wingo's report of the kingfish offshore.
Yeah.
Time to put the kingfish rods. I lost a big fish last week, 30 plus.
Oh.
I had fluorocarbon leader on there, of course, because I had a cobia rig out there. So make sure you put the kingfish rods on the boat. I think that inshore fishing is going to continue to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Look for, if you get a low tide window, look on the banks for the reds, you know, fish your roll downs for your drum and clean water rips. There's a lot of dirty water, clean water rips, and find the trout in those. So
very cool. Thanks for joining us, Kevin Corey.
Thanks
Sparks.
For the invite, Kevin.
Hey, folks, Nimnik Chevrolet Outdoor Show, Saturday morning. With Captain Chip Wingo and myself and Captain Kirk Waltz. Logman's out of town, but he's going to be checking in. So make sure you join us and stick around for the draft. We're going to see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. Or maybe they move up and maybe they move down. That's the cool thing about the draft. Y'all have a great evening. Appreciate you. See you.
See you.